Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on it.
We told you what was on our show already at halftime. Then we talked about some stories. So now it's time for 5 on it.
Questions. 5 on it. Number 1.
In a blockbuster trade over a month before the July 31st deadline, the Giants acquired star slugger Rafael Devers from the Red Sox in exchange for Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, Jose Bello, and last year's first-round draft pick James Tibbs III. Knowing the haul the Giants gave up in the trade, do you wish the Cubs tried to trade for Devers?
I think the Giants are incredibly motivated. I think Buster Posey showed you this is one of those I am the captain now type of moves. Like, this was his statement that he wanted to make to help show that he was also in it to try to compete in the best division in baseball. Yeah, I said it. We've talked a lot about the statements that have been made when it comes to trades. Like, Aaron Civale and Andrew Vaughn is a great example. Andrew Vaughn, that was a statement based on his production. Civale, a statement based on the fact that he didn't want to be with the Brewers anymore. This case, Rafael Devers told you time and time again that he wanted to play third base. He didn't care that the Red Sox acquired Alex Bregman. He also had reason to believe he had some agency because he was somebody who came up with the organization. Signing him was considered a priority 3 years ago in a very active free agent market. And that was something that Red Sox fans hung their hats on. So in this case, I think the answer is, no, I don't wish the Cubs tried to acquire Rafael Devers because I think they knew the price was going to be high in Boston and the Giants paid for it thusly.
Okay, so yes, I wish the Cubs would have gone after Rafael Devers, but I don't wish they would have given up what was given up.
Not to mention the salary, which I think would hamstring the Cubs in the future.
Well, it comes down to this. Are you getting Kyle Tucker or not? Are you paying the $500 million or not? And if you're not, and you know you can't get him, because the question of is Kyle Tucker going to sign with the Cubs starts with, are the Cubs willing to pay $500 million? And if the answer from management, from ownership, is no, well, then you go get a guy like Rafael Devers. He's 28 years old. He'll be 36 at the end of the contract. This fits the timetable nicely. $250 million left on the contract. That works. They've got prospects to give up. Now, like I said, I wouldn't give up as much as the Giants did, but if you don't think you can get Kyle Tucker to stay, you need bats that are as good as this type of bat that Rafael Devers offers.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this like, I probably would not have been desirous of acquiring Rafael Devers because I'm just not sure if I trust him. But after the deal was made and I saw what they gave up, I could see the Cubs putting together a package that wouldn't be impossible. And I'll be a little bit specific here, too. Like, would there be a... So they give up in this. The big prospect here was James Tibbs III, the number 4 prospect for San Francisco. The Cubs' number 4 prospect is Kevin Alcantara, depending on where you look. At least that's the mean from the places that I was looking, that he would be your... So I wouldn't have a huge problem trading him at this point. Throw in another starter, Jordan Wicks. Yeah, I see your Jordan Hicks. How about the Cubs' Jordan Wicks?
Da, 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 da.
A Wicks in that trade. Maybe even, God forbid, a Moises Ballesteros. I know we all love Moises when he came, but like
he doesn't have a position.
That's a trade package that I would do. And I realize that I didn't give any major leaguers away here.
Well, I would take your Alcantara and say, you don't do that. Just give him Matt Shaw. He's coming here to play third base.
Interesting.
He plays third.
Yeah. Right.
Rafael Devers' contract, by the way, would put him squarely as the highest paid Chicago
Cubs. Right?
DH. 10 years, $313,500,000.
Only 250 left. Only 250 left.
That's the thing.
But like that by itself is even
more.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Can you believe the Giants did that, though?
Yep.
Like, just took that on.
Buster Posey's not
period.
Playing around. I don't know if you know this. Buster Posey knows what winning a World Series feels
That's
like
such
multiple
a great
times
point.
Over.
Such a great point.
That's intelligent spending,
yeah.
my friends.
I mean, it's just so far from something the Cubs would do, taking on a 10-year, $313.5 million
Again,
deal.
Only 250 remaining.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is important to point out.
I like 319 saying, you all have it backwards. The Cubs can't decide whether or not to pay Kyle Tucker until we know there's going to be a lockout. We just showed you a bunch of teams who are doing it. So others are doing it. So if that's the case, guess what? Not the case.
You lose out.
Number two.
Do Matt Boyd and or Jameson Taillon deserve all-star consideration for how they've stepped up in Justin Steele and Shota Imanaga's absence?
I think they deserve at least Cubs gold stars. I think what...
That's so condescending, Layla.
No, I mean, but it's... I've appreciated greatly, and you've heard me talk about it a million times on this show, Jameson Taillon and what he's been able to do in his longevity. And how he proves every day, I think, at this point, why you paid him the contract you did when you signed him. I think what has happened with Matt Boyd is not just a continuance of performance that we've seen before, but him learning how to more pitch and not just throw. You know, in 2019, I remember talking about how at that point the Sox should trade for him because he was leading the league in strikeouts and he was a Detroit Tiger. But as to facing the bevy of talent in the National League, where, by the way, one of your best dudes is on the hill for the first time in a long time today in Shohei Ohtani, I just don't necessarily know that that's all-star consideration based on the NL.
It's a non-starter for me. I've been trying to tell y'all, you still have time, by the way. Go, vote. You can control position players. The Cubs aren't getting any pitchers into the NL all-star game as it sounds right now. And if they were to get one, it would be a reliever because they got a lot of relievers doing a lot of phenomenal things.
I think that Matthew Boyd's getting there for me. Like, I guess on the surface, when I hear those names, and I'll say a no for Jameson Taillon, he's been really good over his last handful of games. But he is a pitcher that I want to see keep that up.
He's also a league leader, Mark. You know what he leads in?
In?
Home runs allowed, 16.
Okay, see, okay. Then I feel better about the fact that immediately my brain says, no, Jameson Taillon is not an all-star, but he's been really good for the Cubs lately. Matthew Boyd, though, man, down to a 2.79 ERA. Like, I could definitely make a case for Matthew Boyd, not to mention that he's picked six guys off. He puts on an app. He picked another guy off in his start the other day. It's an absolute clinic watching him pick guys off at first base.
But think about it. When you've got, like, Zach Wheeler, Mackenzie Gore, Logan Webb.
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys out there who can throw.
Man.
Just saying, like, we can't be afraid to be like, guess what? Matthew Boyd belongs.
Paul Skeens.
He belongs, though. I mean, I get it. Like, we think Boyd, we think, oh, this is just magic that's happening. But no, it's like he's in that conversation at this moment.
Number three.
If Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is the front runner for National League MVP, how much would a bad pitching performance hurt his case?
Zero home runs, baby.
Nah, I disagree. If this guy comes in and he's making his first major league start tomorrow, if he comes in, let's say he posts numbers that are negative on the WAR side.
Yeah.
So that's affecting his overall WAR, right? If he's got an ERA closer to 5 than, say, 3.50, I think there's a case to be made that he could hurt his performance for MVP by being out there pitching. Also, we don't know what the effects of him pitching will be on his overall performance at the plate, because I can tell you this, the best season he's ever had offensively as a Major League Baseball player, it came when he didn't have to pitch. 50-50.
I still believe that MVP is very much a what are you hitting award, and if that's the case, then Shohei Ohtani is making his. I don't need him to pitch. Is it what sets him apart, far and away, from another candidate in a close NL race? Perhaps. I don't see this being close right now, and I love Pete Crow Armstrong, but given his importance to the team and his consistency and the fact that he's at the top yet again, that's all I need.
Layla, he doesn't play in the field. And when you don't play in the field and you see how much of an effect Pete Crow Armstrong's defense has on his overall value to the team, I don't think you can just punt on that.
Think about the voters, though, too, man. They
love him.
Love the Shohei Ohtani. I mean, like, for the first time last year, we heard this phrase, and it took me a while for it to sink in and allow for it. Greatest player of all time. That those were the phrases coming out of the big time baseball Bigfoot people that cover best player, like older guys that have seen a lot of players saying best player of all time. So they want to vote for this guy again. So I think he can be an average pitcher and not get hurt. But yeah, if he flops, like if he hurts the team and hurts himself, like then that would have to be taken into consideration.
Number four.
NBA trade talk and deals are already underway, and the real NBA offseason is almost underway. The NBA draft is next week. That's kind of crazy to think about.
Cray.
Let's bring it back to Chicago. Who on this Bulls team is currently untouchable?
I am going to reiterate what our friend Casey Johnson did when it came to the trade deadline, that everyone should be available. And I hate to say this, and this is bold, and I just have to come to terms with it, even including Modest. If you really want to retool this thing in a way that gets you to the actual drill down, strip it down to the studs, and really build, if you wanted to, then nobody should be untouchable.
What does that deal look like?
I don't know, because they don't. We have no bearing to understand, because it's how they value players, and how they value players is different, I think, from how the rest of the league may. Like, there are examples. So when you consider all of that, I don't necessarily know how they would place value on him. Do I think he's one of the most untouchable, relatively speaking? Yes. But should in this day and age, when you're seeing people move the way they are and the specific needs commanding four first rounders, like a Bane trade, then I think that's kind of the benchmark as to not being afraid to make uncomfortable decisions sometimes.
The question is, who on this Bulls team is currently untouchable? I would say no one is in my eyes, but I'm not the one running the Bulls. If I have to try to put on my Arturis Karnashovas lenses, and they are a tough fit, let me tell you, it's hard to get those glasses on. Those are some thick goggles. I would say I think Modest is the only guy that is untouchable in his eyes because of what he told us about wanting to have a time frame in which he has, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 good players that can play in the mold of an OKC / Indiana Pacers team, or maybe even an Orlando Magic team or a Memphis Grizzlies team, the way things are going right about now. I just don't know if he sees these guys as untouchable. But
do you? Do you? I mean, like, no, isn't that the question?
I think everyone should be
touchable.
Touchable.
Oh, you could touch this.
You could touch this. Yeah. Yes. The opposite of hammer and thems. Listen. My thing on this is pretty simple and straightforward. Get as many assets as possible so that when you have a chance to go get guys, make it happen. And if Desmond Bane is worth what we just saw he's worth, because the worth is what someone's willing to give up, what is Coby White worth? Because he's definitely a Desmond Bane light, but they have a lot of the same similar skill set.
I mean, we just saw them trade their max player to get back a protected pick that ended up being 12. So that's why I don't understand what the value is to them necessarily.
Yeah, Desmond Bane much better than Zach LaVine, though.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to say that any player would be, even me, Marshall, would say that it'd be ridiculous to say that there's an untouchable on a team that has gone into the play-in tournament.
Good job.
Thank you.
I feel like this influence is working very well.
You were very intimidating during the pre-show meeting when anybody dared to speak up about the ball. Oh, that's what you think? Oh, really? Oh, really, Porth? Yeah, you think that? So I was, you know, I just want to, you know, be careful with what I'm saying. But no, and Modest would be the name that I would throw out there, too, is like the guy that I'm most curious about still. Like, I'm not here proclaiming that Modest Puzelis is going to be a star, but I am very interested in seeing what he is.
I think in the NBA, you have to part with talent that you don't necessarily want to.
Yeah.
And we've seen how that can really work for a lot of teams. And you're right, Marshall. Yeah, Oklahoma City has a lot of good role players. They also have the MVP of the league.
They do. Which they got in a what?
Trade.
Because they traded their stars when?
Well,
when Marshall's doing his little quiz thing.
Which one?
Paul George. Yeah. The Paul George
trades. I was like, they've made a lot of trades. Which one are you talking about?
How they got the MVP is by trading someone before he was over and done with. Paul George.
Oh, okay. I like the Marshall little fill in the blank quizzes that he does.
You know, sometimes like you know exactly where it is, and sometimes you're like, I don't really like that's
me.
A long
She's
answer.
Like, I don't subscribe the longer to this.
The no, I just explained. But like the longer the answer, sometimes I'm like, I don't know how to fill in this answer.
Like it's like the little pop quizzes from
Mad
Marshall.
Libs. I think of them as Mad Libs.
They're not.
There are right. There are right answers.
They're wrong answers too.
Yes.
Right.
And you're sorry. Mind. My bad.
Yes.
No, not your bad.
Number five.
Still good.
The White Sox were shut out by Rangers rookie right-hander Kumar Rocker through five innings on Sunday. Rocker twice got visits from the Rangers trainer with apparent cramping in his legs in the fifth and quickly chugged three bottles of pickle juice along the way while getting through the inning. So I ask you, what's your stance on casual pickle juice drinking?
Like for non-athletic reasons?
Non-athletic purposes, it is a thing.
For
people
narcs.
Do it, and I have witnessed it.
For NARPs. Not athletic regular people.
That's a good way of putting it.
You never heard NARPs before?
No.
I thought NARP was a common term. Have you guys heard NARP?
I have heard that, but I only learned that like in the last couple of years.
I hate that, dude. That's a NARPian take, just so you know.
NARPian?
Yes, yeah. Non-athletic regular person.
That's where I heard
That's
it.
That's a familiar voice. Who is that?
Speaks.
Boomer Esiason on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Speaks.
That was actually perfect. That's actually perfect.
We're going to echo some of the Boomer said, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But not the other stuff that he says, because we're worlds apart on our stances on a lot
okay.
of things.
Okay, yeah, that's where I was
going. What
was
going. The question here again?
Hey, Grody, here's the question. Are you a casual pickle juice drinker?
Oh, I
or in favor of it?
I mean, like, it seems strong. It doesn't seem like a quenching drink, because it's so salty and so vinegary.
That's the point.
And I do like pickles. Like, I got nothing against pickles, but it doesn't sound like very pleasing, if I may.
What? I too am not anti-pickle. I am aware that people pair it with vodka for shots. I have had those
shots.
That's
the pickleback?
And I'm okay with it. But, like, is it something I'm doing unprovoked? No.
Does you like pickles in
Wait,
general?
Wait, so nobody
though?
Here does it? Oh, I do it religiously. What? I love the pickle juice. Like,
well,
I always have a jar of pickles.
Your giddy trade
did
take.
Did you come up with this question, by the way?
It was me, because my ex-wife used to, at the end of the pickle jar, when we were done with the pickles, would take a swig of the pickle juice. Wow. And I was like, oh.
I drink it all.
And that seems very strong.
Drink it in.
There's something about the taste. I don't know why it tastes good to me, but I am a pickle fanatic. I love pickles.
Okay,
any
so
pickle.
Pickles are
I'm
popular
at the
right
opposite
now.
Opposite end of the spectrum on the pickle love of Robbie Triano. I say no pickles on my burger and everything else.
They're
I love cucumbers, but I
they
hate pickles.
Are.
Popeyes has a whole pickle menu, don't they?
Grillo's
yes, they
is
do.
Very
pickle
popular.
Brined up. Yes, I'm anti pickles.
Oh,
to
pickle
the extreme.
Brine is great for chicken. Yeah,
I've and been seeing Cole Wright walking into Chicago hot dog places ordering pickles.
Yeah, no pickles for me, and no pickle juice, therefore. I will stick with the Gatorade and whatnot.
A pickleback shot, though? Great shot.
No.
No, great shot.
Pickleback?
Well, it goes down like water.
Great, well, first great band. Nickelback, yeah.
Some of the potential
How
health benefits,
you?
According to the internet.com, for drinking pickle juice, besides muscle cramp relief, hydration, blood sugar regulation, antioxidant properties, gut health, hangover relief, it may aid weight loss.
What?
May improve exercise performance. Take a shot of pickle juice and get on the treadmill.
That's
I don't know.
That sounds like
may relieve
super
heat exhaustion.
Super fruit.
That sounds like just a lot of things you can say about anything that's plant-based.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, or vinegar. Like, we know the health benefits of vinegar, so you just combine it and you get an answer.
Nickelback greater than Pickleback, and I'm not even a Nickelback fan.
I want to be a rock star.
That's not even Nickelback.
I just need you all to understand.
That was Rockstar by Nickelback.
There's a difference between Nickelback and Creed.
I like how defensive you get. I know my Nickelback!
You say there is, Layla. I don't know that to be true to my ear.
There is.
I don't think...
Isn't that the whole thing?
I
with
thought
the
rock... Is that really Nickelback? I want to be a rock star.
Yeah, that's Nickelback.
That's
oh,
the
man.
Steve Stone intro music. I thought that was the one guy.
No, that's Jukebox.
No, who's the rock star guy that middle-aged women love?
Fill God, in the blank.
I can't think of his name.
Lenny Kravitz?
I think it's that song. I'm telling you. Whoever sings that song.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bon Jovi.
I thought it was Lenny Kravitz.
That would be, yes.
John Bon Jovi.
And I love the song. I do. It's got a great beat, and it's a lot of fun. I like the way they sing it.
I love Pat Hughes.
Nickelback does Rockstar.
I was just going to let you guys work on this while I waited until we go to break.
I don't want to ruin the break, but I'd love to consider this further.
You know who might be untouchable for the Bulls? Billy Donovan. The latest on extension talks that crept up throughout the night. That's next here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I thought Billy did a great job this year getting a buy-in from our vets and young guys for how we want to play. Billy is a great coach to work with and is always receptive to feedback and conversation. Billy and I are constantly discussing things we need to improve. Billy, like all coaches, is driven to win and recognizes the importance of developing our young players. He does a great job trying to balance that.
And that was Arturis Karnišovas, of course, talking about his head coach, the Bulls coach, Billy Donovan. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody. And we laugh about how the Knicks have seemingly pointed their coaching search all over the NBA and perhaps even into your home. If you've been affected by the Knicks coaching search,
wow,
we are the show for you. But it might also have affected the paper for Billy Donovan. Mark Stein, the noted basketball writer, longtime with ESPN, national outlets, posting on Twitter that Billy Donovan and the Bulls are reportedly working on a contract extension and perhaps talking to the Knicks, and the Bulls having to deny that request was the catalyst for this. I think the thing I at least like about this is that unlike the extension that happened, as the media put, in secret the last time Billy Donovan was extended, you have some sort of at least understandable time frame and the reason why it happened. You also have a season where Billy Donovan showed off his coaching skills. They don't get to the play-in, and even though it is just the play-in, they don't get there without the Bulls finally playing at a pace and with the style of offense that they had. And Billy Donovan saw that work realized. I'm okay with the extension talks. I just worry about the talent that he's going to get in the future.
Billy Donovan, Basketball Hall of Fame guy, with the success he had at the University of Florida. That's well deserved, right? And in 10 seasons in the NBA, he's 438 and 362. Okay? 438 and 362. That's a 548 winning percentage. But with the Bulls, he's 10 games under 500. And we're lauding him as if, I don't know, man. I want to know how much say he has personnel-wise with the Bulls.
That's the question. Like, that's it. How much of the, say, Josh Giddey trade was Donovan asking about Giddey? Because that was an Oklahoma City guy for him.
He doesn't seem, and maybe that's what this is about. Maybe that language will go in this contract, but... And this is just me believing him at a surface level, that when it comes to personnel stuff, when he's been asked about personnel stuff, he's always quick to kick it upstairs and to say, that's not my purview. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that's what's going on. I see your conflict there, Marshall, but I'm with you, man. Like, Billy Donovan, since coming to the Bulls, has had two winning seasons out of five. And I would argue that he's had only one really good run with the Bulls, and that was his first year, the 21-22 season, where that's the DeMar DeRozan first year, where that first half, they were great. They were 27-11. It was their high, I think their
first place. First place in the Eastern Conference.
And then it just kind of faded away. The Bulls ended up 46-36 in that season. Lonzo Ball did get injured towards the end of the season. That's where that all begins. And then the Bulls were summarily dismissed in five games in a best of seven by the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the best season that he's had. Last 3 years, ousted in the play-in game. Billy Donovan's a Hall of Fame coach. I don't know if he's a great coach right now, nor do I know if he's the right fit for the Bulls at this moment. Well, I don't know.
I think there are times where you heard Billy Donovan talk more in the offseason about what he needed from the team, to answer your question, Marshall. He talked about the importance of rim protection, for example, and how they not necessarily got it. You know, they got Andre Drummond instead, who did have a great term while he was here, but Drummond is a rebounder. You know, he's not, that's not his profile. Right. So that's an example of personnel decisions where I can point out this is something that he wanted that he may have not necessarily gotten. So I haven't heard as much of that since then, which makes me believe that maybe he does have more of a say in the personnel. But as to how much, I just don't know how you can sit there, and Arturas has even said this, I don't know how you can sit there and say that the sum of this is okay, because it's not. But I don't necessarily think that the coach is responsible for the losing seasons as much as it was the talent fit that resulted. And the injuries, I hate to be that person, but they relied on people who were injured, like Lonzo Ball.
But Billy's getting a pass, too, if you want to talk about getting a pass. Like, that's what's happening with Billy Donovan. It's not your fault. It's the personnel. It's like, and I just want that to be examined as closely as possible. Like, what level is Billy Donovan capable of getting this Bulls team? And would it make sense, like, to have a fresh start with somebody else, considering the direction is different for the Bulls?
Well, I think when I look at what he's done specifically with the Bulls, and you ask, well, is it not his fault because of the roster? I think clearly if you look at the pieces of the roster that have left since he's been the head coach and gone elsewhere, they haven't done anything in their new places either. So that goes back to what I say. It's much easier to evaluate someone by what did you do with that player and what did someone else do with that player. I haven't seen anyone do more with his players than what he was doing with them.
That's a good way to balance I like that.
Here's the quick way to say what his level is. You mentioned the one season where they do go to the playoffs and actually play in a playoff series.
Right, remember they get that? The playoff series?
Oh, yeah, I remember. And they lose
seven. What?
They lose to the Bucks. But the bottom line is this. Billy Donovan may be a Hall of Fame level coach. He may be a Hall of Fame level coach, but Billy Donovan is not as good a coach as Eric Spoelstra.
Right.
How do I know that?
Yeah.
Because each of the last three seasons have ended with him being summarily dismissed in the play-in round against Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat.
I don't think Donovan's a great coach. I think he's a good coach, right? Even though he's going to the Hall of Fame. But do you think he's a great coach? I mean...
I think he's a Hall of Famer for the college portion of his career.
Great college
career.
Great college coach.
I think he is a good NBA coach. I think he showed you how, but... Again, you're right. Like, if you want to talk about something where you can question what happened, I would like to know what happened when it came to getting ready for the Miami Heat in that play-in game.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a fair question.
Right.
How much of it was execution and how much was it a different plan? Because we know Miami brings a different game when it comes to the postseason. And we saw the gap between even Miami and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Then there was an even bigger gap when you move forward with the better teams in the conference. Boston got injured, yes. But the point is, you're a long way away from having, say, the standard that the Knicks suddenly created in firing Tom Thibodeau.
Right, they think they're
elite. And after
elite.
Getting to their first Eastern Conference final in 25 years.
That's like the Bears blaming it on the kicker in 2018. It's the same thing with the Knicks. We're elite, man. We're the damn New York Knicks. If it wasn't for that rascally Tibbs, we would have been in the finals.
Listen, I think the apples and oranges, in a way, because of how wide open the East was this year and the fact that the Knicks feel they were so close. Now, who knows what would have happened if they had gotten to the NBA Finals. They did not, so we know they're not good enough to get to the NBA Finals.
Right.
But for Billy Donovan and this team, I'm just wondering, when will he even have the talent replenished enough to be able to be a factor in the East? And again, what that Miami to Cleveland did from the play-in to the playoff series, that gap is so wide, and it's so much wider than maybe even I thought. And you know how I am about where the Bulls'
Marshall
talent level
lives,
is.
Marshall lives, breathes, and eats hoops. And we thought we had a good assessment, knowing the league, of where the Bulls were and where the Heat were. And then what we just saw was a stratosphere between the top of the Eastern Conference and what you saw with teams like the Bulls. But the thing is, I don't know how much of that is necessarily preparation when we know that the talent is what it is.
Yeah, it's not enough talent. Like, there's a reason they haven't had all-stars and everything else.
The point, too, to be made here is if we're going to look at it through this lens only, if you've got like the blame pie, for example, we talk about that a lot with the Bears, you know, who deserves the most blame, X, Y, and Z.
Their pie is
You're
huge.
Visualizing the blame pie right now.
I know. It's a delicious
blueberry.
He's got
an XXL.
Pie. Yeah.
I don't think that Billy Donovan is responsible for as much of it. And I also think that if you put him on another team like the Knicks, the better question is how would he affect them? And that's when you can further understand the value of Billy Donovan relative to the rest of the league.
How far did he get in Oklahoma City with all that talent he had? Like, what was the maximum? Like, I'm seriously asking. I don't
wasn't it ECF?
What,
or no, that was Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks.
Enough with the ECF, WCF
Scott,
talk.
I think that was Scott Eastern Brooks Conference at the Western Finals. Conference Finals.
So, like, and he had Durant, Westbrook. Who was the third of the big three? Didn't he have the big three?
Well, no, at one point they had Harden, but he was off the bench. And then he got traded.
Did
to
he
Houston.
Have those three? And how far did he get them?
There's a line where Scott Brooks ends okay. and Billy Donovan begins.
So okay. his best season actually was when they lost in the conference finals. That was the series where they were up 3-1, and they came back in 2015-16, I believe, if I'm remembering this correctly.
Okay.
And they lost to the Warriors. So they were able to beat the Mavericks in the first round.
Yeah.
They beat the Spurs in 6 games in the Western Conference semifinals. And then they lost in the Western Conference finals.
Did he underachieve there? Like, if we're... like thinking about his career as like full and like he's a good coach, so this is not like bash Billy Donovan, but we're having a conversation here about like what his
I think maybe he did, because he had Durant and he had Westbrook,
yes,
not in either's MVP year, but they're still at 27 years old is how old both of those players were,
right?
Serge Ibaka, who was 26,
yeah,
Dion Waiters, a 22-year-old Steven Adams, Andre Robertson. He had a team that
Steven
was
Adams was the 5 that year and Durant was the 4.
Steven Adams.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, no, Ibaka was the 4.
Oh, Ibaka was the 4.
Ibaka
yeah.
was the 4, and Dion Waiters was their shooting guard.
And that's a good team.
Man.
And then they had,
I'd have to see all the other how good the other teams were at that time too to make that proper assessment.
They lost to the Dubs.
Okay.
Yeah,
in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and that was like peak Warriors at the time.
That's perspective that I needed.
That's the last year before when they lost to the Dubs. What happened the next season? Draymond calls from the parking lot to after Kevin Durant, after they summarily dismiss him.
Oh, yeah.
And then Russell Westbrook won the MVP the next season because
Holy
there was no Kevin Durant.
Bleep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
he had a shot. He had one good shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Durant's last year.
Yeah. I was trying to remember that. You're right. Like, he was the team that took them to the Western Conference Finals. WCF.
3-1.
The UCF.
Yeah. 3-1 lead.
Yeah.
And now we just have F.
Yeah. F.
The finals are just F.
Okay. I'm uncomfortable now with F being thrown around again.
Final.
Oh, final. Okay. F it.
No.
See if
Let's switch to some wholesome content,
okay.
shall we?
Oh, yes, let us.
There was a great moment that happened on the South Side over the weekend, and it involved a SCORE teammate. How Chuck Swirsky was a part of history. We'll tell you next on The SCORE.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Pope.
What an introduction. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Rohde on 670 The Score. And over the weekend at Guaranteed Rate Field, now just Rate Field, it's going to take me a minute, I'm sorry. There was a bit of, I would call it, Chicago history made. As we know, Pope Leo XIV is from Chicago, a noted Sox fan, and he had filmed a video address that he wanted to give people on the South Side. And it was an event that sold tickets, and as we know, it was very popular, and it was also very meaningful to our friend, Bulls announcer Chuck Swirsky. I know that it was a significant event for many reasons, but Groats, you upped the ante a little bit when you asked Chuck to working something in a very serious moment, religion-wise.
Yeah, well, we thought we had a little preview, and I'm going to play some of it for you here in just a second. But I think it was last Wednesday, we had, I think Anthony Heron was filling in, and the two of us had Chuck on to preview the big celebration of Pope Leo XIV or Robert Francis Prevost, if you would like. Chuck was the MC of the program, which is very significant. He does a lot of work at Holy Name Cathedral, and that's his connection. And obviously, he is connected to Jerry Reinsdorf and the Chicago White Sox through the Bulls. So there's Chuck doing what he does, and that is an awesome presenter. But it was, again, on Wednesday that we had Chuck on, and we wanted to see if we could, you know, maybe carefully, with humility and the Lord, get a little bit of some score shout-out.
Here, I have just been sent something here to my phone. This comes from the Czar, from Mitch Rosen here, and he actually sent me some audio. What we had, because we just realized this is possible. You can do this, and I understand where you're coming from. I am Catholic as well, Chuck. I've been to Holy Name Cathedral Masses. I understand that's a serious world right there, but we have a template, a way that you could do this. This is from the year 2016 after the Cubs won the World Series, and Pat Hughes has the template on how you can work this in. Go ahead.
Thank you for being here today. My name is Pat Hughes of The Score, WSCR, 670 AM, the flagship radio station of the Cubs Network, and it is an absolute thrill to be here today.
I'm not sure. You know what? You have my word. I will promote the fact that I am the broadcaster for the Bulls on 670 The Score. So if the Czar is listening, there you go. I'm not sure I can, I'm not sure I can go that deep the way Pat did. But again, you know what? The Bulls win an NBA championship, and the Bulls put me on stage. I will do it big time.
All right. So again, that's last Wednesday, and Chuck telling us that he would get on this very serious day at the rate that he would get a mention in of the Score in the midst of the Pope. Let's go to the tape from Saturday to see how Chuck did.
And welcome to an afternoon as we celebrate the election of the first Pope to have been born in the United States. And he was born right here in the great city of Chicago. My name is Chuck Swirsky. I do the radio play-by-play for the Chicago Bulls on 670 The Score. And I am humbled and grateful not only to be your MC this afternoon, but also a volunteer at Holy Name Cathedral, serving as a lector and Eucharistic minister under the guidance and direction of Father Greg Sakowicz.
Sakowicz.
Boom. Yay! Goes the dynamite.
not only did he get in the Score, but to also give the shout out to Father Greg Sakowicz, who's a huge Sox fan.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there were multiple layers of acknowledgement.
Have you been to Holy Name when do they call him Sack? The father?
Wait, what?
No.
Well, his name is Sakowicz. So.
Father Greg.
Oh, Father. Oh, I'm sorry, Father
Greg. Some people
Greg.
Have a little more reverence than what you're talking about.
I just know somebody named, a guy named Thomas Sack, and they call him Sack, so I just thought maybe the priest was called.
Is he a priest?
I used to work with Pete Sack, the meteorologist at Channel 5, and I just called him Pete.
Yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Did you feel comfortable with that? Like, just calling a father Pete?
I feel like Sack is
a
little too
Pete
close
Sack
to bag.
Pete Sack isn't a father.
Yeah, you're right. Sack
Pete
doesn't
Pete Sack was a weather guy.
Oh, yeah, Pete Sack.
It doesn't sound great.
Is Pete Sack's real name Sakowicz?
That I don't know.
Just go with Sack.
Grody's on one right now, guys. But listen, I'm impressed.
I thought it was so cool that Father Greg was a Sox fan. We talked a little baseball.
No, that is cool. That's cool. And you know what? Chuck really knows how to MC.
He did not mix it in. He said, I'm coming strong with this.
He did come
this
strong with
this. This is who I am.
It.
This is how you know me.
This is
and
how
if you
know
don't
me.
Know, now you know.
Now you know.
Hall of Fame.
He did not do that. But Chuck, like, talking real slow because of the weird sound he probably had with the echo. Like, you could just tell Chuck's a professional. Like, he's done this before. Good job, Chuck.
And I know that he was honored to be able to do so.
And
I talked to
real.
Him a little bit about it before we broadcast the Sky game last week. So I know Chuck, this meant a lot to him, and I do think it's really cool that he got to be a part of this.
I have a serious question about this. This is not just to be jokey, so nobody has to squirm in their seats when I ask this question. There were 40,000 people there for this, and there was a mass. How do they go about doing the communion? Like, is it, do they just have like the ushers that are there, like the Andy Frayne
guys
giving out
so, like row by row?
Was the host present though? Like the communal host?
That's what I mean. Doesn't it have to be for a mass? Like,
I don't know how that
did
went down.
Did they shoot him out of the little
thing? Because I wasn't there.
The gun? No? Okay. I mean, I'm being serious.
But it's not like this has been done before. So, like, when the Pope spoke in Philly, for example, like, but I don't necessarily know how that goes.
And the wine.
I've never been to a mass event.
Right, right. Exactly. A mass, like, what do they do for the community? They just pet, like, loaves of bread, maybe? Just, like, pass them down?
I mean, holy water would be understandable, you know, because you walk through the aisles, but yeah, I'm not.
Like, with the big bushes and well, just spray everybody down?
We gotta text Chuck and ask for logistics. Or if you were there and you understand.
Yeah, no, I'd be curious, like, was there community? I'm not sure what protocol is for 40,000 people.
The sack machine.
The sack machine?
Because your guy Sack.
Oh.
Father Greg Sackowitz, if I send an email or something to Holy Name, I think I could get an answer.
From Sackowitz?
But also, I think like I could probably ask Brooks Boyer. So.
Yeah, Sack. Sack.
708 Communion should have been campfire shakes for everyone.
That's a good...
The holy campfire shake.
Why can't you guys just be serious?
See, now we're in danger of getting smoted. That's how I feel. I feel like we can't... Don't mess with it.
More like demoted.
Smite thee.
All of it. You know who we can have some more fun with, by the way? You know who's in on like the freewheeling baseball talk? Cody Decker.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, friends. He's back.
Perfect.
He's back and he's hanging out with us. And he's also got some work on BetMGM Network. So we will talk baseball with Cody and also let you know on what he... Oh, 773 says. Okay, thank you for telling me. I was there. They had ministers in each section. Okay. Half went to one and the other, and then the text got cut off.
See, the minute? Okay, so all they right. had probably like 100 ministers out there.
Okay, good to know. I knew somebody would know. Thanks, guys. Sorry, I haven't been to a mass,
Well.
I see what you did there.
It's true, though.
Oh, a mass. That was good.
Baseball with Cody next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.